Welcome to Author Express. Thanks for checking us out. This is the podcast where you give us 15 minutes of your time and we give you a chance to hear the voice behind the pages and get to know some of your favorite writers in a new light. I'm one of your hosts, Kathleen Basie. I'm an award-winning musical composer, feature writer, essayist, and of course, storyteller. Let me tell you a little about today's guest. Born in Brooklyn, New York, Barbara Pronin has been a Southern California resident for most of her adult life. A lover of dark chocolate, Greek sunsets, and the LA Dodgers, she is the author of seven mysteries, as well as the triple award-winning World War II historical novel, Winter's End, which has been hailed by best-selling author Faye Kellerman as a page-turner with honest characters who capture your heart and soul. Barbara, welcome to Author Express.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So tell me, you know, you're from Brooklyn, you live in Southern California, so you can choose either one of those, but what's the most interesting thing about where you consider yourself to be from?
Well, I consider myself to be from New York, Brooklyn, as you mentioned, and that, of course, is right in the center of New York's Manhattan's amazing subway system. Mm. So from a very early age, 12, 13 years old, I could take the train anywhere I wanted, to Radio City Music Hall, to Broadway, to Museum of Art. So, from a very early age, I got a grounding in culture and the arts that I don't think too many people at that age were able to do, to get behind them.
You know, it's amazing to me. You are not the first person I've spoken to who grew up in New York, and just the complete difference in what parents feel comfortable with their kids doing independently. I can't even imagine putting my kids on the subway and having them run around, but my gosh, what a great experience.
Well, you know, there was no such thing as stranger danger, really, when I was a kid. Our parents just didn't worry about us because there was not much to worry about. So we could be gone for hours at a time. As long as we were home for dinner, right, we were good to go.
Yeah, that's very cool. I think it must be transformative to grow up, to have exposure.
It's one, a feeling of confidence, you know, and that you're okay and you can do things on your own.
So what other transformative experiences have you had in your life?
You know, I've had so many careers in my life. I've been an actor. I was a drama major in college and read a lot of plays and did a lot of plays. And that was a wonderful way to learn the rhythm of dialogue, which is so important when you're writing novels. The speech has a rhythm, and doing plays is a good way to capture that rhythm. I was a newspaper editor, which taught me to write tight, you know. In matter of fact, sometimes I have to go back in and put in some of the color, like what they were eating or wearing, because readers care about. Learning to write tight was a really help for me. Also, being on deadline, as I am right now, for a book that needs to be in by January 1st.
Yes, I can imagine. So I think there's really something to be said about writing on deadline and writing tight, because that's, yep, I always have difficulty with there being far too many words. When I write magazine, I tend to just like put it all in there and then say, okay, if it's twice the length it's supposed to be, then that's an okay first draft. That I have to just figure out how to cut it in half.
Yeah. Take out all the adjectives.
Yeah, well, and usually that doesn't cut it, I think. So tell us about your book in one sentence, will you please?
Oh, gosh. Winter's End is the book I was born to write. What happened was I read a small article about two Dutch sisters in the Netherlands during World War II. They were 14 and 16 years of age. Mm-hmm. And they were recruited by the Dutch resistance, essentially to flirt with German officers in the local taverns and literally lure them to their deaths. So I read that. And then one night, I don't know how much longer. I don't even know if I was in bed. I don't know if I was asleep or awake, to tell you the truth. But somehow or another, those two sisters morphed into one. And her name was Ebby. And she moved into my head and refused to leave until I told her story.
And how long ago was this?
actually, it was during the pandemic, during the last stages of the pandemic. Evie introduced herself, and she also introduced me to her soul sisters in this journey. And the book is essentially narrated in turn by these three women. There are no chapters, but the women tell their own stories and their connectedness and their non-connectedness and the way, the clever waves they find to thwart the Nazis at every turn. They're just three amazing women, and it's just a tale of, they find love along the way, believe it or not. And it's an adventure. It's exciting, but it's also a love story. It's a charming book, if I say so myself. And the fact that it has won these three awards, it's just so gratifying to know that people are out there reading it and loving it as much as I do.
For sure. Well, and I don't think that the word charming is something that normally comes directly to mind when we think about World War II and resistance literature. So,
right. But these are young women, you know, inexperienced young women. So everything is new to them.
How did you ensure authenticity in this world of characters that you're creating?
Well, of course, I did a lot of research, a tremendous amount of research. Unfortunately, because it was during the pandemic, I was not able to travel back to Amsterdam, but I had been there twice before. And so I had a pretty good mindset in terms of where everything was. And while I didn't get out to Harlem, and I wish that I could have, I did a lot of research. And when I put Evie and her mother on a houseboat on the Sparta River, I was pretty confident of what I was doing. I was very careful to keep track of the war's timeline so that I knew where the Allies were at all times. I knew when the Allies were, you know, got a break or got the legs cut out from under them. And of course, my book takes place during the last few months of the war, after the landing, where all of Europe thought that the Allies were going to be there and, you know, get them liberated in no time at all. But it wasn't that easy. And so the timeline was very important.
It's incredibly complex. My husband and I went to the World War II Museum in New Orleans a few months ago, and they said, you know, spend X number of hours, and we're like, oh, no, we can do it in, you know, maybe three quarters of that time. No, you can't. It's just incredibly, incredibly complex.
The research is part of the fun, however, but the main thing for me is characterization. My books are all very character-driven, and the characters, they know what they have to do, even if I don't. And I learn to trust myself, because the back of the brain knows a lot more than the front of the brain does, so that when a character is born to me as a veterinarian, I had no idea why she was born to me as a veterinarian. I don't have a pet. I know nothing about veterinarians' life, but she was, and it wasn't until 100-some-odd pages later that I realized she needed to have some medical knowledge, and being a veterinarian gave her the medical knowledge that she needed. So, you know, that's a perfect example of how the back of your brain knows more than you do.
Yeah, interesting. You know, you've sort of transitioned into the writing process a little bit. So you said you couldn't go back over there. Did you read books? Did you do online research? Do you do Google Maps to see what things look like?
I did a lot of Google Maps, yes. And I did a lot of Wikipedia because Wikipedia is like going down the rabbit hole. Once you start with a topic, it leads you to other, you know, deeper and deeper topics. And that's exactly what I needed to do in many cases. I love Wikipedia. I donate to them all the time because I appreciate what they do for me. Also, you know, you can find out almost anything you need to know on, you know, in today's world just by Googling it. And so I didn't need to do a lot of deep research to find exactly the war timeline that I needed.
Sure.
And the location of places that I didn't know about, like the fountain in Amsterdam, which becomes an important part of the book. You know, I remember the days years ago when I used to have a whole set of encyclopedias sitting next to me. I needed to know the name of the airport in Amsterdam. I'd have to look it up. Now it takes me 2 seconds. I, you know, ask ask a Syrian or whoever, and it's at my fingertips.
It is. We talk a lot in my family about how the phone is now the, like, we used to have the World Book encyclopedias behind us, right, like, growing up. But, you know, what's the name of the airport in Amsterdam is not a quick look up in an encyclopedia, but it's a very quick look up on Google.
Absolutely. Very quick look up.
So how do
I, in general, I think that the computer has made us better writers, too, because, you know, I go back to my very first book was done on the typewriter. Uh-huh. And when you talk about cut and paste in the revision process.
Right.
I mean, we were cutting and pasting pages back together again. If I had to do a second book on the typewriter, I'm not sure there would have been one.
Holy moly, that's
get in world. Yeah. Yeah, but now it's so easy to make a change, you know, you just could do it. You don't say, well, we'll let that go. You just do it. Use a better word or whatever. And so in the end, I think it's made us far better writers. There's no way you can be lazy anymore or no reason.
Yeah, no excuse anyway, right?
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
So how did you approach writing three point of view characters, making sure they all have equally complex narratives and stories?
I don't plot my books. They use the term pantser. You kind of go by the seat of your pants. And I very much am that way. I start with characters who are driven to accomplish something, to do something. And I know where they're going to be at the end of the story. I'm not always sure how they're going to get there, mm-hmm. but finding out is the fun part of writing for me. And in this case, especially in all my books, but especially in Winter's End, the characters just literally told me what they had to do. It was amazing.
That's never happens to me.
No, it was a really unusual process. I don't know that I'll ever find it again. But
lightning struck for you. Well, that's very cool. This sounds like a great book to look at. So tell me, if people want to learn more about the book or about you, what's the best place for them to go?
My website, probably, barbaracronin.com. Very simple.
Great. And then tell us, what book or story inspires you the most?
Oh, my gosh. I think that's got to be Sophie's Choice. Read it many years ago, of course, but I remember reading that book and just sort of clapping it against my head and saying, wow, you think you're a writer. It was so powerful. Talk about character driven. I think it's an amazing book, Sophie's Choice by William Styron.
Very good. Well, thank you so much. The time flies whenever we're here. Thanks for coming on, Barbara.
Oh, I appreciate your having me. Thanks so much.
Thanks for joining us today. Reviews help other people to find us, so please take a minute to give us a rating and leave a few words. We'll be here again next Wednesday. In the meantime, follow us on Instagram at Author Express Podcast to see who's coming up next. Don't forget, keep it express, but keep it interesting.